funny how sometimes it seems like the Lord just has put something on your heart really strong. And then when you get here, the devil wants to fight you left and right. I love the Lord. And I'm going to listen to him, ain't you? I hope this will bless you. This is a song that I heard several years ago, and I'd lose in the courtroom. The judge looked my way. Looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand God's saving grace. It never was covered. That covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be? That someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken. I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Yeah. Amen. No sweeter words can be heard by anybody that if say you being operated on for cancer, and the doctor walks into your room and says, we got it all. Amen. That takes you off the death line. Then for somebody to say, I've paid for all of your wrongs, all of your sins, you're forgiven, there's nothing against you. I remember I went to register a gun. Fred Leonard was moving to Indiana, and he had a gun. He had bought it, and before he moved, and he asked me if I'd register it in my name till he could get to Indiana. Then he'd transfer it, and I did. And I went with him to buy the gun, and the guy said, "You told me said you've got to take this paper and take it to Sullivan County Sheriff's Department." And I went up there, and I told the guy when I walked in, he said, can I help you? And I said, I need to register a gun. He said, go right around that corner right there. That fellow will help you. And he went in. I went in there, and he had a thing. I guess it was as wide as this table is round. And it was about that long. And it was just shelves that just revolved. And I said, I need to, you know, get this. And so he said, all right. He said, the pew. He said, all right. And he punched a thing, and that thing started revolving. And they got to the D's, I reckon. And he started looking through it. And I said, does everybody in Sullivan County have a card in there? He said, nope. He said, just the ones that's got a record or got anything against them. He looked and looked, and he turned around and went, okay, you're okay. I said, you couldn't find nothing against me, could you? Amen. And, you know, the devil comes and accuses me and you of everything in the book and then writes another book. But when he goes before the throne, and the Father turns to the Son, and the Son only has to lift up nail-scarred hands. And I've paid for all of them. And so I'm glad that we can know that. Amen. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 45 this morning. Psalm 45. I have preached this before, but you shout like you've never heard it. The Lord's burdened me this week with this message, and I'm going to, the little boy said, go after it. Glad to have this with us this morning, Kay Smith. Kay, lift up your hand and let them know where you're at there. There you go. Good to have you, and appreciate you being here this morning. And if you'll let us know, she lives on Ward Place. So if you don't have any place to go for dinner, Kay would be glad to have you. Amen. We appreciate our visitors. Amen. We expect our members and appreciate our visitors. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, that went over real good, I thought. Yeah. Amen. All right. Would you stand with me this morning as we read the Word of God? Psalm 45. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. That doesn't mean awful things, but it means wondrous things, wonderful things, great things. And then he said in verse 5, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and alloy and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Notice verse 13 and 14. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Notice that. He's not talking about her. He's not concentrating on her outward beauty. But he says the king's daughter is all glorious within. He chose her because of her inner beauty. Her inner beauty. You may look at somebody that gets married and you say, well, boy, I mean, how in the world? Why'd they ever choose him or choose her? I wouldn't have chose them, but that person saw something in them besides outer beauty. Amen? Well, a lady went to the doctor and with her husband, and she said, well, doctor, how's he doing? She said, the doctor said, well, I really don't like his look. She said, I don't either, but he's good to the children. See me after church and I'll explain it to you. But notice this. But the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Ladies, you ever had one like that? Her clothing is of wrought gold. She should be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. I want to refer you back to verse 14, to that first phrase. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. And I want to preach this morning on the ministry of the needle. The ministry of the needle. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for thy blessed word. Father, it thrills our hearts and it comforts us just to read your precious word. Thank you, our Father, that thy word is true. And to thank you, Father, that thy word is as the most fine gold. And our Father, we come to you today to thank you for the privilege to be together. I ask now the Holy Spirit of God to take further charge of this service. And Lord, help me to preach this morning as you'd have me to preach. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open the hearts of thy people to hear. And Lord, somebody that's come into our midst today that does not know Jesus, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would love on them today while they're here. And even after they leave, and God, that they would want to come to know the love of God. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It's thought that this psalm was written for Solomon on the day of his marriage to Pharaoh's daughter. We see here also a picture of Christ and his church. And I love pictures of Christ and his church. I love the types and shadows of the Old Testament. And I love psalms. There's just something about reading psalms and the wonderful things that God will show you in that. But I want you to notice that. And then you see that the bride, if you read down through this, the bride is not going to be brought to him by her own merits. But she's going to be brought to him. It said that her wedding gown would be made for her. Would be made for her. You and I are not going to heaven and put on our best that we've got in our closet down here. It's rags in the sight of God, when we go to heaven, we'll have robes that He made for us. I'm glad that it's not depending on my righteousness to get me to heaven. We started to get out of the car this morning, and Frances said, "You smell good," and I always tell her that's my righteousness coming through. Of course, she believes it about like you do, But we come through, and here it said that on her, she wasn't coming to him on her own merits. And I want you to look with me this morning as we look at this. But she comes to him not because she deserved to come, but because she was claimed by a king. He wanted her. He wanted her. If you go back to the book of Ruth and remember that Ruth was out toiling in the field, and Boaz saw her before she ever saw him. Amen? Amen. I tell you, and Boaz, when he saw her, he forgot how much he owned. He forgot all that. He just had to have that girl. He wanted that girl for his wife, and he kept his eyes on her and he watched her. How she did her work. He saw her attitude, and he asked the one that he had put over her, which I believe is the type of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He asked him. He said, "How? Tell me about her." And the the service said, oh, said she's come to the field early in the morning while the dew was still on the grass, and she's worked even now right up here until noontime. And that impressed him as he looked at her. But I want you to look at this. He talks about the needle. He says she shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. Now, you ladies, most of you know what a needle is. You worked with it, you know. And that needle will be maybe, you know, some of them will be different lengths. And sometimes it'd be so small that you work with, you can't even see it. But see, God works in ways that are mysterious to us. We can't see how or what or why that God is working in our life. You may think that God's completely went to the other side of the universe and left you by yourself. But God still never loses sight of one of his children. God knows where every one of us is at any given moment. He can contact us at any moment. He can move in our lives at any given moment because we're his children and because he paid a great price for us. But I want you to notice that the needle of God's will is threaded with gold, and that gold represents the unbroken purposes of God. And I want you to notice this morning, I'm glad that the keepers of my house will never tremble, will never shake. God will never make a miscue. God will never say, oops. You notice that? God will never say, oops, I shouldn't have done that. Or, I messed that up. Everything that God does is perfect, and it's fine, and it's in order, and it's for our good, and it'll be work out for our good. The Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to our purpose. Don't be careful what you're amening. According to our purpose, no, according to his purpose. Amen? And so, amen, don't look so disappointed, amen. But listen to us this morning. God works with a needle, and he's fine and precise in what he does. I've got 4 points this morning. Don't know if I'll get through all of them this morning, but I want to give them to you and try to help us see this morning that God knows exactly what he's doing in our life. Like I say again, you and I don't know a lot of times when God's working and when he's not. There's times that we really acknowledge that we know God's doing something. We know God's working. We know that God is working something. We don't know what he's doing, but we know he's working something, and so we can rest in his plans. We can rest in his eyes. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, as we think about the ministry of the needle, number one, how divine the pattern. How divine the pattern. Now, ladies, there's not too many ladies that I know of that can work without a pattern. I know some ladies that can just start out doing something. I used to ask my grandmother, what are you going to make? I don't know. I'll make something. It started, I tell you, when she got through with it, it was something. Amen. I mean, you know how they do. But other ladies have to have a pattern, an exact pattern to go by. And so Christ is our pattern. And God isn't making us like somebody else. God doesn't expect you to be me or me to be you. Some people in this church have 5 talents. I heard preaching this morning, and I listened to that. He said some people have 5 talents. Then there's other Christians that have 3 talents or 2 talents. But he said sometimes there's people who only have 1 talent. But that person with that 1 talent is as responsible to God as that person that has 5 talents. You say, well, all I can do is just sing in the choir and try to keep up with them. Hey, listen, if you've got a talent to sing in the choir, you're responsible to use that talent. And I said before, you need to find out if you've not found out and tried to find out what God wants to do with your Christian life and how he wants to use you, you're sinning against God. And if you know what your calling is and you're not doing it, you're sinning against God. And you're the one that's losing out. You're the one that's losing out. But how divine the pattern. First of all, I want you to know notice the energy of his care. The energy of his care. God never wastes energy. Listen to me this morning, Christian. God never wastes time in minding your life. I mean, you know, there's people, I know a few years ago, we didn't think Wayne Broom would be sitting here today. We didn't think he would. It just looked like it's all over for Wayne, but God. Amen. But God. And I want to tell you this morning, friend, when there's a lot of things that would go against us that would get us out of here, but God. But God. And so this morning, the energy of his care, God puts his best foot forward every time. God never says, well, I'll not have to do very much with this. And God, everything that God does it. Write that down. You won't remember that this week. Amen. It's not original with me. I'm just repeating something I heard years ago. Everything that God does it. It's never, he never holds back. He never says, well, I want to do something there for Ted back there. And Ted Castle sitting right back there in that purple shirt. Everybody just be rude and turn around and look at him right there. And he never, God never says, well, I want to do something for Ted. But I'll just do part. I don't have to do a whole lot. And no, God does his best. Amen. And you remember that. Whether God's having to chastise or whether God's having to wanting to bless and help you and solve a problem in your life, God does his best. You know what hinders the work of God? Our complaining, our griping, our growling. And that hinders. That keeps, listen. It's a thankful spirit. I mean, you know, you ever went and sat down in a restaurant, and we've heard a lot last year about people, and I saw a shame when they talked about the fact that it was people that had just come from church that made the biggest messes and did the most complaining and were the most arrogant with the waitresses. Shame on us. Shame on us. And you wouldn't appreciate, and so that waitress comes over and she's standing there patting her foot, got her, all right, y'all want anything? As a waitress said that to us one day, y'all want anything? And I thought, yeah, wait for it. That's why we came in here, because we wanted something. Yeah. Amen. Hey, listen to me this morning, folks. Hey, but God never wastes energy. God never wastes time. God's interested in you. God's interested in me. And if we'll let him, the energy of his care, but secondly, notice the excellence of his commitment. Every God's work is excellent. It'd win a blue ribbon at any county fair. You think about that, folk. Have you ever looked up and said, God, do you know what you're doing? God sometimes spoke something to me. I come home for revival one night, and they'd give me a check, and me and Francis had been praying about something. Damon was just a baby. And we had prayed, listed down some things we needed, and when a baby comes, he brings a bunch of bills with him. And, and hands them to you, And we'd listed a bunch of stuff. It wasn't wants, it was needs. And I'd had a revival, and they handed me my check at night, and I thanked them for it and put it in my coat pocket where I could get to it real quick. And went, got in the car, and was driving up the interstate toward was living at Gunnings in the parsonage. And I got about halfway, and I got that check out, looked at it, man, and I said, thank you, Lord. Man, I just rejoiced and said, Lord, thank you. That's more than what we needed. Lord, thank you. And God said, well, thank you, but I want you to put that in the offering plate Sunday. First words out of my mouth was, have you prayed about this, Lord? I said it out loud. Have you, Lord, have you prayed about this? God said, and here's what he said. It broke my heart. God said, I trust you with this much every week. Can't you trust me one time when I ask you? You think about that. The excellence of his commitment. I mean, God's for us. God wants everything to be done right. And then not only that, but notice the exactness of its completion. The exactness. God, listen, God knows where to touch my life, and God knows where to touch your life. You may think God needs to work over here, but God says, no, this is what I need to do for you. God says, this right here is what I need to do for you. Here's yours. And the exactness, God is exact. And so how divine the pattern. And here's the thing about it. God, you say, what's he trying to make? He's trying to make a bunch of little Jesuses. He's doing everything he does is to make us like him. I mean, in our little church out of Orbank on Thursday nights, our prayer meeting was Thursday nights. And I can remember people would stand up and you'd hear them say, about everybody stand up and say, well, I want you to pray for me that I'll grow closer to the Lord. But the next Thursday night, they'd say, I want y'all to pray for me. I've had so much trouble this week. And I want y'all to pray for me. The Lord will help me and move this from me. Well, they just got through saying they wanted to be more like the Lord. And then he started bringing in troubles and stuff like that to make us like that. And then we started hollering calf rope. Huh? Some of you look like you just lost your best friend. But it happens, folk. It happens. Amen. Not only how divine the pattern, and I ain't going to get through, but how desirous his purpose. What does God want? What does God want when he's taking that needle and he's working in us and he's got that he's got it. And here's the thing about it. You try to buy good material, ladies, to work with. God, every bit of fabric he has to work with is imperfect. Yeah, I'm talking about me and you. Amen. Every bit of fabric he has to work with is imperfect. But how wonderful that thread that is made with the golden purposes of God's heart and God's mind, it will keep it together. God's taken many of a wreck and a ruin in our lives and made something useful and purposeful out of it. How desirous his purpose. He desires that we have, number one, a relationship with him. God wants us to have a relationship with him. Hey, listen, folks. God's interested in talking to me and you. God didn't save us and say, well, now, you stand right here on the corner and when I get start out, I'll come by and get you on our way out of town. No. God wants a fellowship and a relationship. We are related to him by the new birth. And God wants a fellowship with us. God didn't save us because he couldn't get out of it. God saved us because he loved us and he had divine pity and compassion on the terrible mess that we were in. And he takes us and he makes us, he wants to make us like him. He wants us to be a pattern of him. Not only does he desire that we have a relationship, he desires that we pass the review before him. What are you talking about, preacher? The judgment seat of Christ. Because every one of us is going to the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian, how many Christians in here anyway this morning? Every Christian in here this morning is going to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Christians will not be at the great white throne judgment to be judged. But we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul goes back and reflects. He talks about it in Corinthians, Paul goes back and reflects on the Greek games that they had, the races, and they had a track route that they run around, and the judge would be seated up on a platform along the line at the finish line, and when they come around, and the judge noticed that he noticed, and not only if they won the race, but how they ran the race. Now, every one of us will be winners in the race, but the examination at the judgment seat of Christ, listen to me, Christian, it's going to be how we've run the race. How we've run the race. Have we been faithful? Did we do it with a cheerful heart? Did we do it with a loving heart? Did we do it with compassion? Did we do it for the sole honor of the glory of God? For the sole honor of the glory of God. And he desires to have a relationship with us. He desires that we pass the review before him. There's going to be a test. Oh, but you say, preacher, I'm going through something, and it just seemed like God don't hear a thing I say. Did you know that the teacher is always silent during the test? I remember when in school we was taking a test, and the teacher said, nobody's talking. And you get to looking at something, you turn, miss, and she say, hush. We start complaining with God what he's doing in our life, and God's, in other words, he's saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. Amen. And not only that, he desires that we enjoy the rejoicing with our loved ones. One of these days, we're going to see our loved ones again. Those who have died in faith. And every one of us in here this morning have loved ones that have gone on that we know are saved. We desire to be with them again. We desire to see them. When I was working at the funeral home, and I was sitting across the table from families, and I'd be taking an obit for the paper, and I'd get down to the, you know, they was born here, and they worked here, and so forth. And I'd say, now, did they have a church affiliation? And God loved their hearts. I've seen them drop their head and eyeball each other. Well, He hadn't got to go to church a whole lot lately, you know, and they're getting red around the, you know, they're embarrassed to death, and but you know, one of them spoke up and say, "Oh, I know." He always said if he ever went to church, he'd go to the Baptist. Put it down, he was a Baptist. Oh, the folk, listen. Church affiliation don't do a thing for your Christianity. Now, I'm Baptist because I believe it's closest to the Bible. Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be a Baptist dead. But that doesn't make me a superior Christian. I belong to a Baptist church. I preach what the Baptists teach, because I believe it's out of this book. We are, in case you hadn't heard lately, we are an independent missionary Baptist church. We believe in the security of the believer. We believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, imperishable Word of God. We believe that two ordinances of the church are baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we're looking forward to being with our loved ones again. And we believe that you must be saved on this side of eternity, because you're lost if you go out of this world without knowing Christ. Amen. And I don't say that to be proud of it or to be haughty about that. But oh, my soul folk, I don't know what time is it. It's just now 10:53. How divine the pattern. How desirous his purpose. And then I could talk about how definite the piercing, but I believe I've come across that. But I'm going to go on with the last one. How delightful our presentation. Folk, I want to tell you, if we submit ourselves to the will of God, how glad we're going to be that we listen to him. And that we yielded to him. How glad we're going to be that we humbled ourselves before him and let him have his way in our life. I want to tell you something. You keep fighting and arguing with God all the time, You don't have no joy. You don't have no peace. And I want to tell you something. You may slow God down, but you ain't going to stop him. And one of these days when we get to heaven, there'll be some folk that'll be up there that at the judgment seat of Christ are going to stand there with broken hearts. And I believe all of us are going to have some things we're going to need to cry over. They ain't going to be nobody at the judgment seat of Christ stand up there and be able to look over to others and say, I got 100. No. No. Because every one of us have failed and come short. Every one of us have failed and come short. Listen, Christian, why don't you get down to business with God today? Starting off this first Sunday of a new year. Why don't you submit yourself to God this morning and say, God, I don't want to play church. I don't want to play Christian. And God, forgive me for being so stubborn. God, forgive me for being so lackadaisical. God, forgive me for hollering, let so-and-so do it. I heard a man say this morning, preacher talking, he said there'd be some folk in churches that'll, he said he had a couple that used to work in his church and was very good at what they'd done, and said they finally come to him one time and said, now, preacher, said it's time. We've done our part. We've done our part. It's time for us to just quit and sit down. Let somebody else do it. May I remind you that the Bible says that there is no discharge in this warfare. When the Lord comes back, or when he calls me, whether it's from a hospital bed, in a car wreck, or sitting in my recliner, I want him to find me thinking about what I need to do next. I want him to find me willing to do what he wants me to do, what he would help me do. Do you even care that you slop around and don't try to get involved? You're going to face God. You're going to face God. And he's got the record of me and you. Oh, yeah, but preacher, you're the preacher. We expect you to do. Well, that's what the crowd said before I come to you. Hey, you've got a response. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a responsibility. God heals your body. He comforts you when your loved ones die. He takes care of your children and keeps them out of harm's way. And God saved your soul. You don't have to go to a burning hell. And you ain't got time to get involved? Well, I'm not as educated as somebody else. The Bible said, if there first be a willing mind, Paul did. Paul said, if there first be a willing mind, then it is accepted what a man has rather than what he has not. Are you willing? The sad part of it is, ain't so many Baptists not even willing. They come to church on Sunday morning to save their conscience. Because they know they ain't coming back Sunday night. They know they won't be back Wednesday night. But they come to save their conscience. Now, we've not jumped the pews this morning and run the aisles. But you know, I've told you the truth. Why drag your feet on a holy God that didn't drag his feet when he carried the cross? When he was on the cross, he didn't deny us
So why deny him now? Why deny him now? I want us to get ready to sing. And I'm not even giving y'all a head on my outline. But I pray this morning that God will speak to our hearts. And that this will be the time that somebody will get ashamed of sitting on the sidelines. And we'll get in. Let God have you. Hey, listen, you've got God. Let God have you. There's things we need teachers in this church. We need children's church workers. We need people to do a lot of things around here. Terry gets up here every Sunday and most every Sunday says we need help doing this. We need help in the nursery. Ain't it funny that you think that the nursery is not that important till your child gets in there or one of your grandchildren gets in there? Oops. I preach like this because I preach like this because I'm your pastor. And I will be held accountable if I don't tell you where we're going and what we're going to face. We are headed for eternity. If we're saved by the blood supplied to our heart, and we're ready to go to meet God, we will go to heaven. But we're going to go through the judgment seat of Christ first, to be rewarded or to lose rewards of what we could have had. Somebody said they didn't believe that God would wipe away all tears from the eyes until after we get past the judgment seat of Christ. What a day, glorious day to be when we see Jesus. But I want to meet him with my head high and say, Father, by your grace, I'm here. And that's all it'll be. Let's stand. Our Father, thank you this morning for thy word. Thank you, Lord, that you work on us with a needle that is threaded with gold, that you're definite in where you touch us, that you've got a pattern, and Lord, you want to make us just like yourself. Lord, may we be faithful. Forgive us, Lord, where we've not been faithful, where we've complained and griped and growled. God, forgive us for dragging our feet. God, help us, Lord, to realize that we have nothing to boast of in ourselves. Lord, if we do anything that turns out good, it's because your grace was in it. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor and glory. Father, help folk this morning to see the responsibility. And Lord, to the rewards and the blessings, God, that they can have by getting involved and by being, Lord, what, and being a part of this church. Thank you, Father, for every member we've got. Thank you for those who come who are not members, Lord. I pray your blessings upon each family. I pray on our children, Lord, even in our young people down in Gatlinburg. Lord, had one to rededicate their life last night. And Father, I pray that you'll bless them the remainder of their time. Lord, have your way in this invitation. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you committed? Does God have all of you? Does God have all of you? Have you surrendered it all to him? And said, Lord, I want to give you my all. Take me completely. Maybe you just need to slip out of that seat and just come and say,
Lord, I want to surrender myself afresh and anew. This first Sunday of 2015, I want to be yielded to Thee. I want to be available for whatever You need me to aid and help with in this church. I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor You in my life. Will you just slip out of that seat and come on? Some are already doing. Just slip on out and just come on. Oh, the writer said, does it matter to You, all you that pass by? Lord, I pray that it'll matter to us. I pray it'll matter to us. Let's sing this morning, Bill.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief.
Listen to that.
My soul
obey the Lord.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the wings shall my position share.
Yes. Appreciate you being here this morning. This church is consistent. We had 260 last Sunday and 260 this Sunday. And so we're consistent anyway. Amen. But we had, as I say, a lot of folk got flu, and our young people are out. That's about 25 or 30, I'd say. And they'll be starting back today. They've had a good time down there. God's really been doing some things, I think, down there in for them this week while they've been there with their Bible studies and so forth. They said they had a box down there, and they had to, when they started to have devotions, they had to put all of their cell phones in that box. That really made them want to pray, I guess. Amen. Yeah, they did. They were singing. Yeah, had one of the girls rededicated their life yesterday. And so had some good things taking place. Amen. All right. Well, I preached till I got you hungry, so. But don't run over top of each other getting out here. Hey, 6 o'clock tonight, 5 o'clock choir practice, 6 o'clock evening service. Hey, come on back. We'll treat you right. We'll treat you right. Amen. I love you.